Bron Breakker defending the NXT championship against Joe Gacy. If Bron Breakker gets disqualified, he loses the championship. As I brought up the last 2 weeks, they never mentioned about getting counted out of the ring. Usually when you do that storyline, it's usually if you get disqualified or counted out, you lose the title. They focused only on DQ. And that's done by design. And you could see this a mile away. Joe Gacy is going to keep tempting Bron Breakker to break the rules. You could picture it now. Joe Gacy is going to give a chair or throw a chair to Bron Breakker, and he's probably going to pull an Eddie Guerrero, or he's going to say, please hit me. He's probably going to put his hands behind his back, close his eyes. He's going to yell at Bron Breakker, get him pissed. You're going to hear, you know, Wade Barrett and Vic Joseph, don't do it, Bron. Don't do it. And then the fans are going to be in an uproar, and Bron's going to be like, if this is a red and black chair, he's going to, and then he's going to put it down. Because Bron Breakker's too nice of a guy. He'll get pissed. He'll come this close to breaking the rules, but he won't break them. Some people think that he's going to get disqualified, lose the championship, go to the main roster. And they think getting disqualified and losing the title is better than him getting pinned. I disagree. Bron Breakker will resist the temptation from Joe Gacy.
Hey, happy Sunday, everyone. Good morning. You know, it's truly a Breakfast with Blossie. You know, I kind of miss doing that show. This is my younger, more nastier years, but I welcome you. We are here Sunday afternoon, 12 noon. Later on tonight, we have the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Yeah, we will post this wherever we want a good chuckle, good laugh. I still think Edge looks like Shane Douglas. I still think that Damian Priest looks like a Spanish Bill O'Reilly. Liv Morgan looks like some hick, like Cook Network stars. I can't put my finger on it. AJ is just loving that pulled pork, man. Oh, Rhea Ripley looks like someone you don't mess around with. I don't know. And Finn Balor, Finn Balor might be aging the best out of all of them. So, how's everybody doing tonight? Look, you know, it's not often that we don't do a recap for a pay-per-view or a premium live event immediately after it happens. But yesterday, as you saw on my Twitter feed, I was at my parents' house celebrating my niece's graduation, and obviously familia always comes first. And it's not that I thought the NXT in your house was going to be bad. I thought it was a decent event. Again, developmental territory. This is the developmental territory. You're going to have some hiccups. But overall, I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was a lot of fun. I wanted to share with you as a joke, and it's not really a joke, but, you know, we've been having some fun on social media, you know, making fun of how WWE needs to enhance Tony D'Angelo to portray, you know, the La Familia character. Yesterday was my niece's college graduation. So what do they give away as little favors? You know, some places they'll give you like a pair of shot glasses. They'll give you cookies. They'll give you like a little statue memento for the occasion. No, this is what we were given yesterday. I kid you not. It was a bottle of olive oil. And if you can't figure out the other thing, let me open it up and we'll get right into the recap. Obviously, we're spending an extra 2-3 minutes. Yeah, look, that's what the family gives away. They give away olive oil. I would not be surprised if my father's involved with this Italian company. This is like the scene in The Godfather, Don Fanucci. He gives him the olive oil. And how's about this? A brain to squeeze. It's one of these stress balls, a brain stress ball. and this. All right, all right. Yesterday we had NXT in your house. Much different roster compared to last year and the year before. We talked about that the other day. I thought this event was pretty good. Six matches, six very manageable matches. Some of the matches went a little bit shorter than I expected. Having La Familia, Tony D'Angelo and the family opening up against Legado del Fantasma, that kind of surprised me a little bit. But to fill extra time, all throughout the night, they were showing teasers for Hell in a Cell. One of them caught my eye. And, man, WWE is really trying to build up Bobby Lashley versus Omos and MVP. If you didn't see it yesterday, they did a diss track. MVP. It's still early, everyone. He did a diss track of Bobby Lashley. It's called Fall Mighty. Fall Mighty. You got to go out of your way on YouTube and watch the video. I have a 10-second clip of it that I will share with you now, but just keep in mind that I can't play more of it because we don't want any problems with YouTube, but I thought this was pretty cool. Check this out.
And I know you're looking at me thinking life ain't fair. Mad at me because I still have all of my hair. What the hell? I don't believe it!
All right, enough. That's a little sampler. It's excellent. MVP does the rap. My favorite part of the rap is he's got brains like Heenan. I think he said something like that, but a lot of dissing to Bobby Lashley. Now I'm kind of nervous because I predicted Omos and MVP to beat Bobby Lashley, but you do a diss track like this and you put it out there a day before the Hell in a Cell, I think Bobby Lashley may have to overcome that, but it is really good. They debuted that yesterday. I'm sure they'll show it again tonight during Hell in a Cell. I was trying to find someone who might have been lazy and may have typed up all the lyrics, but I couldn't find anybody. But, yeah, MVP with a pretty awesome diss track. How's everybody doing this weekend, by the way? Hope you're all having a great weekend. If everybody was catching this on a replay afterwards, welcome. By the way, the cat is out of the bag, June 8th. The video side of what I do is going to change. Start getting familiar with yourself. Pro Wrestling TV. They are going to give some serious competition to Fight in the very near future. Pro Wrestling TV, I will be a part of it starting June 8th. That is the big surprise, the big announcement. So, and because of that, this Wednesday Night Dynamite returns. So we will have a little party on Wednesday, and what a great night to do it. Talking about AEW, talking about the situation with Punk, but for tonight, we are talking strictly NXT in your house. Six matches, the opening match, Legado del Fantasma against Tony D'Angelo and the family. The loser in the match becomes part of the family's stable. Now, the other day when I talked about this, I had to be very careful with my words. And I should have just talked more about the blood side of things, but I didn't. And, just to say it bluntly, if you don't word this the right way, it's interpreted as being racist. See, the thing is that in the Italian mafia, all right, it's just it, like if you ever saw the movie Goodfellas, there's a reason why Ray Liotta or Jimmy Conway, Robert De Niro, could never be a made man, because your family history, your heritage, they have to be able to track down all of your ancestors. And if you're not fully Italian, you'll never be a made man. They do have soldiers that'll be different nationalities, but in many cases, soldiers ultimately are expendable. So you know, this storyline with Legato, if they lose, become a part of Tony D'Angelo's family, that's not the case simply because they ain't Italian. It's not a racist thing, but if you really want to go deep, you know, and look, let's be honest, WWE is going deep with the Tony D'Angelo Stacks and Two Dimes characters. So we figured, and I did get a couple of match predictions wrong. We'll talk about it. But with this match in particular, and yesterday kind of proved it, and maybe proved it in a really bad way, that, you know, Stacks and Two Dimes, they're still new. They are still new. These are not polished indie wrestlers, indie darlings that came in and they're repackaging them. If they were, people would be in an uproar by now. Well, you calling them Stacks, Two Dimes. You're wasting their talent on stupid gimmicks. But they are very, very green still. They are green in the personality department. They are green inside the ring. That's why I never thought that Tony D'Angelo and the family was going to lose this match, because I don't think the acting abilities of Stacks and Two Dimes, let alone inside the ring, would really come across well. You know, Legato are experienced, polished players. They're not only spectacular inside the ring, but they are great with their characters as well. And that is what we got yesterday. Legado del Fantasma loses to Tony D'Angelo and the family. This opened up In Your House. It was a wild brawl, 13 minutes, I believe. But if you look closely once again, Stacks and Two Dimes, extremely, extremely green. Right now, it is smoke and mirrors for those two guys. And the best thing, And I predict this will happen. The best thing that is going to happen to those two guys is WWE touring with NXT once again this summer. They are doing like 2 weeks straight of house shows and then a week off. Two more weeks and then a week off. Two more weeks and a week off. You will see Stacks and Two Dimes wrestling on these house shows, probably without Tony D'Angelo. Maybe somebody gets a treat and they do get Tony D'Angelo as well, or maybe they'll be in separate matches. But you will see Stacks and Two Dimes on this tour trying to get more matches and trying to get seasoning in. Their work yesterday, if you really look closely, was not that great. You know, again, it's developmental, so we really don't want to get too hard on them. But, you know, the stars of that match are Legato and Tony D'Angelo to an extent. Tony D'Angelo is coming along really, really good. You have a good match, believable match with Ciampa and a few others. You could see that he's coming along really nicely. This was a wild brawl. And towards the end of the match, we had some weapons get involved. Electra Lopez giving Santos Escobar a pair of brass knuckles. Tony D'Angelo using a pipe. And then pretty much how this match ended, Joaquin Wilde somehow got the pipe from Tony D'Angelo and he hit Stacks with it. Just follow me with this. So Joaquin Wilde gets the pipe, hits Stacks with it. Stacks is done. Tony D'Angelo gets the brass knuckles from Santos Escobar and he hits Joaquin Wilde with it, knocking Joaquin Wilde out. So Stacks, who's already knocked out, just pretty much falls onto Joaquin Wilde, gets the pin. Tony D'Angelo, Stacks and Two Dimes, they now have Legado del Fantasma in their group. And this is the problem of what we talked about when they were on the boat. It sounds nice and everything. They should have put, this is why, again, I'm sorry for beating a dead horse. This is why there should have been a female in the group with Tony D'Angelo and the guys. Because I would have preferred, I know some people get triggered when you talk storylines like this, but I would have liked to have seen, you know, on the boat, Tony D'Angelo say, hey, how you do, let's say Santino Marella's daughter was part of their group, Ariana Grace. She does the whole Guidette thing. What if Tony D'Angelo said, hey, if we win, Electra Lopez becomes our maid. She does whatever we tell her to do. Now, I know some people will think with a dirty mind with that, but, you know, we get Electra Lopez for 30 days. If we lose, we'll give you Ariana. And I think that would have been better because they did the segment afterwards later in the night, and Tony D'Angelo's teasing, like, what is he going to have them do? You could see it a mile away. Hey, wash my car. Hey, take my clothes to the dry cleaners. Make sure there's no lint balls on my hat. Eh? You know, go down to the pizzeria, pick up our squingili. That's what it's going to be. You know, it's not going to be. I mean, what did we expect they were going to do? Hey, go down to Third Avenue, pick up my money. And if they don't, have my money, you break their fingers. We're not getting that. We're not getting that, but I know. Yes, Ramson, I am live and live in color, and you can hear in my voice. I actually woke up about a half hour before we went live. My glasses are fogging up from the coffee steam, but, you know, it was a decent match. It told the story it needed to tell. The antics that will follow now, and that's another thing. What's the time period on it? I thought 30 days would be enough. I think 30 days would have been good. There's no time period on it. This can't be permanent. Or if they play off that this is permanent, then you could see what will happen. They won't get along. Or maybe Legato keeps fucking things up intentionally. And then Tony D'Angelo's like, look, you're fired. Get out of here. We don't want you no more. We might end up seeing something like that. So, nice opener. Crowd was really into the show all night long. Some points, I was very surprised how much they were into it. So, the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship is on the line. Vic Joseph points out this is the first time the women's titles are defended at an In Your House. And by the way, questions, chat questions, super chat questions, we'll answer it after we go through the matches because it's going to be a pretty quick one today. Don't forget tonight, after Hell in a Cell, I'll be here live right after. We'll do a recap. First time the Women's Tag Team Championships are defended in an In Your House. Right before we get the bell, there's a little brawl, Toxic Attraction, Caden Carter, and Katana Chance. I keep wanting to say KC. A lot of KCs. KC. Never mind. No, but seriously, look. KC Catanzaro, KC. Caden Carter, KC. Katana Chance, KC. Now all they need is a Sunshine Band. So, we have Caden Carter, Katana Chance, getting a little bit of early advantage. You know, Wade Barrett pointing out that, you know, that these two, Chance and Carter, truly believe that they could and would become tag team champions. And Wade says that belief only takes you so far. Wade points out that he believed that he could and would be heavyweight champion, and he never was. And that's what ended up happening yesterday with Katana Chance and Caden Carter. Toxic attraction with the early advantage. We had a nice move with the KCs taking down Gigi Dolin. And while Gigi Dolin was laid out on the mat, JC was sitting on the middle turnbuckle. And Katana Chance, you know, God bless her. She wants to be the high risk taker. Not on the level of a Jeff Hardy as of yet. The only move that I thought that was really impressive was a Hurricanrana onto JC Jane off the middle rope, and JC Jane lands on top of Gigi Dolin. After that, you know, Katana Chance still, you know, you would think by now that she might be a little bit further developed, but she is very, very sloppy with her spots still. Caden Carter, I think, is much more polished. She hit a beautiful-looking cutter onto JC Jane outside the ring on the apron. But then we go towards the end of the match. And again, these matches were, none of them were extremely short, but none of them were extremely long. Some of them we may have even thought might have been a little bit shorter than expected. And I think, you know, you will find out some news reports, they'll report it as news, but it's just common sense, that some of the matches were trimmed down a little bit
so they could focus on plugging Hell in a Cell, because we did get a lot of vignettes for Hell in a Cell all throughout the night. So towards the end of the match, we have Gigi Dolin and Katana Chance doing a chop fest. And again, if I could change one thing in wrestling right now, one thing in wrestling, almost every match has the slugfest in the middle of the ring. Sometimes it's a chop fest, but it's usually a slugfest. You know, boo, yay, boo, yeah. We had it over and over and over again yesterday. I get nauseous when I see it in every match in AEW. Not WWE's doing that stuff. Please, it's too much. It's goofy. So we have Gigi Dolin and Katana Chance doing the slugfest. Then it turned into a chop fest. Katana Chance tries to do a standing moonsault and fails miserably, gets a two count. So I guess to try to make up for it, she wants to pull a Johnny Elite. She goes to the top rope and tries to do a 450 splash. Not spectacular. Think Johnny Elite and Samoa Joe. So she still tries to pull JC Jane pulls Katana, Kayden Carter outside the ring. So Kayden Carter eventually gets back inside the ring and she's going at it with Gigi Dolin. Kayden Carter attempts a fruit roll-up, but Gigi Dolin kicks out at two. As Gigi Dolin kicks out, she forces Kayden Carter to the side rope. Referee is not looking. JC Jane wallops Kayden Carter. Nails her right in the head. Knocks her for a loop. Suplex by Gigi Dolin onto Kayden Carter. 1, 2, 3. And as Vic Joseph said, whether you like it or not, toxic is still the attraction in NXT. I'll answer this quick question. Johnny Elite is not a jobber now. This is just the way AEW has decided to use him, and he's going along with it. So, you know, decent match. You know, I think with some of these women, they try a little bit too hard, especially Katana Chance. And I'm not saying that I don't like her, and yes, this is still developmental, but I think at this stage of the game, you know, she should be much further developed. And some of these moves, you know, it's not something that requires a hell of a lot of, you know, pre-planning. I mean, you're standing and you do the move. I mean, the other person obviously has to be in position, but both times they were in position yesterday. But Toxic Attraction retain their titles. We see Pretty Deadly in the back preparing for their match against the Creed Brothers, and Pretty Deadly is singing, preparing, and the Creed Brothers are sparring backstage with all the members of Diamond Mine watching along. No real facial reaction by Roderick Strong. And we'll mention something later on, because remember, with the Creed Brothers, if they lose this match, they are out of Diamond Mine. But if they win this match, are their days in Diamond Mine also numbered? We'll talk about that soon. But first, we had Carmelo Hayes trying to regain the NXT North American Championship against Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes had a fun entrance, almost like a slime green colored spaceship rising up. You know, nothing professional, but still looked pretty cool. He comes out for his entrance. You know, Carmelo Hayes, you know, looking cut as ever, coming out with Trick Williams and two guys wearing masks, bring it home, get it back. Match was very even for the majority of this match. Crowd was pretty much 50-50 split. We had a goofy moment during this match. Trick Williams kept getting involved. And look, I know we're never going to get things to be even, but what happened to out of here? Trick Williams over and over and over was interfering in this match. First two, three times the referee didn't see it, but one goofy moment. When Carmelo Hayes comes out, you notice he's got like a red bandana tied around his right thigh, okay? Trick Williams took that bandana,
tried to tie Cameron Grimes's arm against the ring rope, you know, make him incapacitated for a little while. The problem is, you know, this is not your typical headband that you would buy in a store that's almost like the thickness of a handkerchief. You blow your nose, you throw it in the washing machine, you do that 500 times and it's still kind of in good condition. This was kind of like a tissue. It was so thin, you could see right through it. And you see Trick Williams struggling, trying to tie it. And Carmelo Hayes is trying to distract the ref. And after he ties it, Cameron Grimes just went like this. And the freaking thing not only let go, but you realized this was like the thickness of a tissue. It looked really, really awful. We get a gut drop by Cameron Grimes. And I don't get it, guys. You know, look, I love interacting with all of you. I love when you post comments here. Maybe one of you, this might be something to spark you to write something. Please tell me why I should be impressed by the gut check, the gut drop. I mean, don't get me wrong. The synchronization by Carmelo Hayes and Cameron Grimes looks beautiful. They're both standing on the middle rope. They both flip backwards. And it looks beautiful. It's synchronized. Wrestling move. But tell me how that move benefits Cameron Grimes in any way, shape, or form. He hits the gut drop and the crowd is chanting, holy shit. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, it looks nice. But to me, it's such a stupid move. Maybe I'm missing something with that move. But he hits a gut drop, which did look nice. But as a result, they're both on spaghetti legs, Cameron Grimes especially. We get once again another fucking slugfest in the middle of the ring, three times in a row. Carmelo Hayes is throwing everything at Cameron Grimes, but Cameron Grimes keeps kicking out at two. Carmelo Hayes looking a little frustrated. Cameron Grimes gets briefly the upper hand, hits a poison Rana onto Carmelo, who gets out of dodge, goes to the outside. Cameron Grimes dives onto both Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. So as Carmelo gets back in the ring, the referee is checking on Carmelo Hayes. Trick Williams interferes once again. This time, the fucking referee is looking right at a Trick Williams. Yes, Cameron Grimes ends up knocking him on his ass. But it looks so ridiculous because every other match, you're out of here, ejected. The referee sees and does nothing. So what ends up happening is Carmelo Hayes nails Cameron Grimes into the top turnbuckle in the opposite corner. Carmelo Hayes climbs the top rope, hits a leg drop off the top rope onto Cameron Grimes. This was a match that I got wrong. Your new NXT North American champion, Carmelo Hayes. Now, I thought because of Cameron Grimes making the promises over and over again that Solo Sikoa gets the next shot, I expected that feud. I actually would like to see Solo Sikoa get some gold. But now with Carmelo Hayes regaining this championship, you know, do you play hot potato with it? You know, kind of feels now that Solo Sikoa may not be getting, you know, North American gold anytime soon. And here's what I'm fearing also. Do not give me Cameron Grimes and Solo Sikoa as a tag team. I don't think we really want that, if you think about it. The men's tag team division in NXT is not very deep. Yes, you got Legato. Yes, you got some variation of Tony D'Angelo and the family. But the Grizzled Young Veterans still haven't returned, made an appearance. Giovanni Vinci is going to be a singles guy. They have a couple other tag teams. Idris and Ofi is coming along very nicely. You know, we'll see. We'll see. Yes. Happy Shavuot. I believe that's how you say Shabbat. Shalip Shalom. I think that's how you say it, right? Happy Shabbat. To all our Jewish friends and family out there, if I pronounce it wrong, please don't hold it against me. Don't get to say that all that often. So Carmelo Hayes is your champion. Yes, I expect Carmelo Hayes and Solo Sikoa to feud a little bit.
they injected Solo Sikoa into this North American title, so something's got to happen. But for me, the way it feels like right now, Solo Sikoa is not going to be getting the gold anytime soon. But this was a pretty good match. Like, I'll be honest with you, after I watched this event, I never really stepped back and said, what was my favorite match of the night? This may actually be it. And, you know, no match to me really stood out. And no match was really awful. I don't think any of them were awful, to be honest with you. Wendy Chu. And I appreciate everybody who loved my play on words. I said, will Wendy become NXT Women's Chumpian? Chumpian. Not champion, but Chumpian. You know, C-H-O-O. They did a vignette where Wendy Chu was sleeping. Look, very creative. Her whole character is sleeping, nappy time, laying in bed, chilling. So her opening was she's sleeping and she's dreaming about becoming NXT Women's Champion. She wakes up, she stretches, she gets out of bed, she walks to the ring. I liked it. You don't have to have extravagant, crazy-ass intros. Some of the intros tonight, last night, I thought were really, really nice. Did what it needed to do. Mandy Rose attacks Wendy Chu right as the bell starts. And if you weren't paying attention to the match, you would have thought the fans were chanting for Randy. That's what it felt like. But they were chanting for Wendy, which also sounds a little bit like Mandy, so you really couldn't tell at the beginning. Go back and watch it. You'll see what I'm talking about. You're like, are they chanting Mandy or Wendy? Like, they're very, very similar, but ultimately, the Wendy chant started to break out clear cut based on her offense. About 4 minutes into the match, Mandy Rose, complete beatdown to Wendy Chu. Wendy finally turns the tables. Shavut. I always thought it was Shavut. Okay, I think I said it. All right. So Mandy, with most of the offense the first 4 minutes of the match, Wendy Chu turns the tables a little bit. Unfortunately, when they took it to the floor, Mandy Rose hits a nice spine buster onto Wendy Chu on the rampway. Referee, for some reason, was not counting right away. Maybe to give her a little extra time, because the spot looked painful. And the ref finally starts counting, and he got to 9, and technically Wendy Chu was not back in. I mean, you could say she got in at 9 and 99 and 100ths, but there were two times yesterday that the fans were kind of a little annoyed at the referee. This one moment where Wendy Chu technically, I think, was counted out. And there was a pin attempt later on with the Creed brothers where there was an awkward pause between 2 and 3 because the referee knew that the other team, Pretty Deadly, was going to kick out. And they didn't kick out as quick as they should. And you heard the fans chanting, that was 3. So Mandy Rose with a couple of power moves on to Wendy Chu for 2 counts. And then Mandy does the unthinkable. Wendy Chu doesn't snap for getting beat down before the bell. Wendy Chu does not snap getting a spine buster on the rampway on the concrete floor. But if you tear apart Wendy Chu's body pillow, oh, it's fucking on. Mandy Rose rips apart Wendy Chu's pillow. She snaps. She opens up her jacket to reveal that she's wearing a Toxic Attraction t-shirt with red X's across all 3 heads. She ultimately lands some offense. She's energetic, getting the crowd into it, puts a sleepy time on Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose rolls to the ropes, so the move has to be broken. Unfortunately, this match kind of ended a little bit abrupt. Wendy Chu climbs the top rope. Mandy catches her, dumps her onto the mat, and then lands the high knee for the 1, 2, 3. Shout out to everybody live, by the way. See, everybody's having a good time. It's a nice day here in New York today. I think like mid-70s. So I plan to have a nice, relaxing afternoon with the future missus. So Wendy Chu loses. She does not become champion. Taka's attraction comes back out to celebrate with Mandy Rose. They're standing in the ring dominant. They still hold all their titles. We briefly get a confrontation in the back with Tiffany Stratton and Roxanne Perez. Don't forget, this Tuesday, we will have the final of the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. And, you know, as we talked about earlier this week, the reason why they delayed it for a week is because they felt that it would have been just an oversight with all the build to In Your House. So they wanted to wait a week and then have this final match. Fun little confrontation in the back. Tiffany Stratton just acting like an absolute bitch out of this. But I think we all agree there's only one person that should be winning this. I know for a lot of you, it's Nikita Lyons, but I think it's got to be Roxy. I just don't want to see Tiffany Stratton versus Mandy Rose. No, thank you. No, thank you. So, couple other matches announced for Tuesday. Josh Briggs versus Von Wagner and Alba Fire versus Tatum Paxley. Tatum Paxley would also be good for Tony D'Angelo's group. If you ever seen Guidettes, if you don't know that's the stereotypical Guidette in like the Mafia, do a Google image search. And if you look at the look, you'll understand why I always said JC Jane would have been the ultimate pick. But she's part of Toxic Attraction, so that's not happening. But you look at the typical look of a Guidette, and I think Tatum Paxley, Ariana Grace would be two perfect choices. In fact, I'm still holding out hope. I think WWE will add a female to that group. I think it's necessary. It should have happened a long time ago, so Electra Lopez had somebody to feud with. But you want to know something, too? Electra Lopez comes off as a heel. If you look, she pie-faced Roxanne Perez not too long ago. She comes off as a clear-cut heel. But with these promos with Legato and Tony D'Angelo and crew, you know, she comes off sort of as a baby face, you know. So you really can't feel the vibe with Electra Lopez. So, all right, moving on. Oh, Briggs and Wagner, yeah. It's... Von Wagner is very polarizing in NXT. All right, the Creed brothers taking on Pretty Deadly for the NXT Tag Team Championships with the extra stipulation. If the Creed brothers lose, they are out of Diamond Mine. No Roderick Strong at ringside. Creed brothers are on their own. Sitting front row is the family of the Creed brothers. Now, the opening video package for the Creed brothers, they did like a timeline of everything they did going back to their early childhood up to the present. Very, very nicely done. I think Ivy Nile may have actually did the commentary for that. I think so. I'm not sure. But you have the family sitting ringside. You know, I started to think, oh, shit. And I'm not saying this in a bad way. It just means I would have got a prediction wrong. I was thinking Pretty Deadly would retain. I still think Diamond Mine will part ways with the Creed brothers very, very soon. You know, you're going to see Diamond Mine members fighting each other. You will see the Creed brothers put those titles on the line against Roderick Strong and whoever, you know, in Diamond Mine. Maybe they add another person or two to the group. I know we got Stevenson's brother in the group as well, but we will see. This match, you know what? Going back, this match was my favorite match of the night. Creed brothers sometimes get very, very sloppy with what they do. I wouldn't even call it sloppy. I call it they get too anxious. You could see the Creed brothers are really committed on becoming big-time pro wrestling stars. And sometimes I think they get a little bit too over-creative with the moves. Remember the cannonball that we talked about a couple of weeks ago? This match... I thought,
This is Chaos. This is Electro Voice. RE320. Thank you for the compliments, though. Says the mic looks and sounds fantastic. You know, isn't that amazing that, you know, I sometimes I get criticized that my audio sounds too good, especially if I have someone on that I'm overpowered. I never understand that. You know, I say it's weird how people complain sometimes. You know, too deep, too much bass, too powerful, overtake someone else. What do you want me to do? You know? Anyway, this match, I changed my mind. This was my favorite match of the night. Pretty Deadly. If you saw their work in NXT UK, you know they are extreme. I got news for you. I will not be surprised if Pretty Deadly go to the main roster. In fact, I was thinking about it last night. Could Pretty Deadly become members of Maximum Models, Maximum Male Models? I could see Pretty Deadly going to the main roster. What do you think? You think they could be a part of Max's Maximum Male Models? Thinking about it. So the Creed brothers, they get both members of Pretty Deadly early on in the Stretch Monkey. And interesting, crowd, you know, for the most of the night, they were split. I mean, I'm not saying that they weren't chanting for the Creed brothers. There were a couple of points during the night that they were loud chanting for Pretty Deadly. I mean, these NXT fans like what they see. And they're not doing it just to be, you know, instigators, would be the right way to put it. Eventually, as the match went along, the chants were even. Pretty Deadly, let's go Creed. Pretty Deadly. Pretty Deadly with a nice spine buster onto Julius Creed on the ring steps. To me, Julius Creed was the star of this match. Took a lot of abuse, but also executed a lot of great moves. A move that I don't think anybody was expecting, but it looked phenomenal. Towards the end of the match, one of the NXT tag team titles are in the corner. Now, I had a few people that I was watching it with last night that was saying to me, oh, they're copying Hangman Page. He picks up the belt. He's looking at it. He's going to use it as a weapon. But then Julius Creed looks at his father sitting ringside. And the story is his father didn't grow him up to take shortcuts. So Julius Creed throws the belt back down. Actually gives it to the referee. That was not copying Hangman Page. That was the storyline when Roderick Strong came out a couple of weeks ago when there was going to be a belt being used against the Creed brothers. There's been belt shots in the past, and that's why things were done. Or better yet, no, this was Pretty Deadly with Roderick Strong in the match. The Creed brothers came out and they tried to help. So belt shots have been part of this storyline. Roderick Strong came out to help the Creed brothers not too long ago by interfering with some cheap shots. That's all that was. But Pretty Deadly, you know, they're on the defense. Julius Creed with some offense. And you have Kit Wilson laid out on the mat, and Julius picks up the NXT tag title. He's going to use it as a weapon. Looks at his dad. He gives the title to the referee and decides to hit a shooting star press. Reminded me of Brock Lesnar. If his partner would have done it, you would have probably had a big-time Brock Lesnar vibes from years ago. But he hits a beautiful shooting star press onto Kit Wilson. Then hits a vicious standing clothesline and gets the pin. 1, 2, 3. Creed Brothers are your new NXT tag team champions. You know, parents obviously ecstatic at ringside. Crowd was into it. They are close to tears. It felt right. Everything about it was great. Diamond Mind, not so much celebratory. I think, again, we talked about last week, I think in the end, the Cree brothers will be leaving Diamond Mine. I think Ivy Nile, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do there. You know, either they go one or two ways with this. Either they do something where you will see possibly Stevenson and Roderick Strong versus the Creed brothers. Hey, everything we did for you, you give me the first shot at the title, Roderick Strong. And then you'll have maybe Ivy Nile standing outside the ring in the middle, and we don't know whose side is she going to root for. And I think ultimately she either goes with the Creed brothers or she goes out on her own. I don't want any of you. So, but I was very, very happy for the Creed brothers yesterday. You know, every time I see the over-the-top screw-ups, which do happen with them, like I said, I think it's excitement, anticipation, you know, a little bit too much. They try to get too creative. That cannonball, which we will always bring up. I mean, see, sometimes when you see wrestlers do crazy moves that are very, very risky, that you could seriously get injured, you forget about it 5 minutes later. You know, we talked about it on the watch party the other day with Ray Phoenix. Ray Phoenix is incredible. But some moves that he does, you would think that he would learn from the injuries. And I know what some people are going to say, well, Ray Phoenix would not be Ray Phoenix if he didn't do the things that he does. I get it. But some moves are so risky, but yet the next day nobody remembers it. This cannonball you remember because it's like so ridiculous and unnecessary that he could have broken both his knees, both of his ankles. I mean, this is not a little boy, too, jumping off to the outside. So something like that you remember because it's so unnecessary. But these guys, you could see, they are putting in the hours. And, you know, I know the perception is that Roderick Strong, near Ivy Nile, is in the corner of Diamond Mine every week on NXT. Ivy Nile, you're talking about somebody else. But, no, Ivy Nile is the shorter, I hate using short, but the very, very cut, very built, blonde female in NXT with Diamond Mine. She's awesome. I freaking love her. She used to be, I can't remember the show, but she was featured on NBC. I think it's some athletic show. She is really, really committed. But the Creed brothers, it's nice to see them developing like this. It kind of gives me Steiner brother vibes. And no, I don't think either one of them have the personality of what Rick Steiner was back in the 80s. But you see two guys wearing almost like college outfits. That's not usually something that wrestling fans connect with in 2022. You know, we have seen college athletes wear very generic outfits, look very, very generic out there, and they don't really go all that far. You know, and don't give me Kurt Angle, because Kurt Angle, there was more of a personality with it, and it developed over time. But the Creed brothers, it's a little unique to see the crowd behind them, and I think it's because they're seeing this in real time, them developing and turning into stars. So, good match. I still think that their days in Diamond Mine are numbered. So now we go to the main event. Bron Breakker defending. See, look, pointed to the head. Hit me. I beg you, hit me. Look, some matches are very, very predictable. This was one of them. The Legado Tony D'Angelo match was very predictable. The Mandy Rose was very predictable. Cameron Grimes and Carmelo Hayes, you know, surprised me. Creed Brothers surprised me also. But in hindsight, the right guys won, obviously. Toxic Attraction was very predictable as well. But this match was one of the most predictable matches in recent memory. And we talked about it a few times over the last couple of weeks. Usually, if you're going to add a stipulation,
you know, with involving disqualification, losing the title, you also include countout. And WWE purposely omitted countout in this stipulation. So you knew things were going to happen outside the ring where, you know, you're not going to really have a count. I mean, there was some moments out there the referee wasn't counting at all. They wanted 100% of the focus on Bron Breakker just getting disqualified, losing the title as a result. And this is what that match was all about. And everything that we talked about on Thursday is exactly the way it went down, every little aspect of it. The only thing that didn't happen yesterday was the unmasking of the Druids. So, which I personally think that's got to come to an end. Don't be surprised. I know this is going to sound dumb, but you got to keep this thought in the back of your head. Don't be surprised if WWE decides never to reveal who they are. Believe it or not. I mean, the member of the Fabulous Freebirds? Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank right now. He was the executioner in WWE in 1996. The masked executioner. Someone bail me out. Still early here. I got a little brain fog. But they never revealed who he was. He was the masked executioner. Oh, damn. Terry Gordy. I remembered. How could I forget Terry Gordy? Terry Gordy. Terry Bam Bam Gordy. They never revealed. That's Terry Gordy. So it would not surprise me if WWE never reveals the masked, you know, Druids from Joe Gacy. The crowd was more into this match than I thought that they would, especially the first half of it. Now, Braun coming out, wearing an outfit, paying a little tribute to Scott Steiner, WrestleMania 9. I was going to get pictures and post it. I mean, you could see it right here. But, you know, it's not really anything. I mean, you can't really see it here, but it's the checkerboards. It kind of reminds you a little bit like Sparky Plug for some people. But, you know, it's just the color scheme. A lot of green yesterday. I don't know if you noticed that. A lot of green. Toxic Attraction. Even Gigi had the green rose. You know, Cameron Grimes' spaceship. A very, very slimy green. But the first half of this match, I found it boring, to be honest with you. I know it's psychological. There's a lot of fans that don't like Joe Gacy. And it's not the character. There's a lot of fans that feel that Joe Gacy does not wrestle anywhere near as good as he should. Now, look, he is not like a newbie around the block wrestling-wise. He's been wrestling for a little while. Maybe the problem with Joe Gacy is because of this character, he's trying to create offense based on the character, which is the right way to go. But I think in some cases it gets boring. And that's what happened yesterday. The first half of this match was kind of bland. You know, Joe Gacy trying to tempt Bron Breakker into using a chair, the Druids trying to tempt Bron Breakker. As well, we had one moment where Joe Gacy was standing on the apron outside the ring and Bron Breakker nails him. Joe Gacy falls backward into the announcer's table. No disqualification because Bron, all he did was hit the guy, didn't put him through the tables. No disqualification. But a couple of times, Bron Breakker had the chair. And even at one point, a referee sees him with the chair. Bron, I'm sorry. I got to do it. I got to disqualify you. Sorry, Bron. I didn't do anything. Bron, I'm sorry. And right when the referee is going to disqualify Bron Breakker, another referee comes in, stops his hand. No, he didn't do it. I wish we would have saw her. Kind of like the Hepners. Remember when one Hepner, I don't remember which one, might have been, oh God, I don't remember which Hepner it was. Remember when we had the twins with Hogan and one hit the other? I would have liked to see that ref like, don't tell me what to do, and he hits him and the referee starts brawling. Was it Dave Hepner that did? I think it might have been Dave Hepner. Dave Hepner, I think, is the one that, yes, he's the one that hit his brother because Hogan then pressed Dave and then
Dave was gone. The expendable Heppner was gone. So, but shout out to Dream. Just got off of work. Good. Good. Hope you enjoy your Sunday. Hope you enjoy Hell in a Cell. So, you know, this match was okay. It picked up in the second half of it. You know, Druid's outside the ring trying to get Bron Breakker to get disqualified. But what ends up happening is Joe Gacy goes through the announcer's table. Bron Breakker with a top rope bulldog for a two count. Chair got involved more than one occasion. Towards the end of the match, Bron has the chair once again. This time the referee sees that he has the chair and had not used it, just had it in his hand. And again, remember we said, you saw the little teaser from Thursday show at the beginning. Bron, don't do it, Bron. Don't do it. He gives it to the official. Remember? Here you go. He gives it to the official. So Joe Gacy's like, I stu nuts. He hits him with a low blow. Joe Gacy gets a two count for himself. But in the end, Bron gets pissed off. He grabs a chair, hits one of the Druids on the outside. Tremendous looking spear onto Joe Gacy, followed by the military press power slam. And he gets the win. So Bron Breakker is your winner. He retains the NXT championship. No, he did not get disqualified to go to the main roster. The match was okay. Joe Gacy, I think, did better than, you know, recent matches, but still this match felt like it was missing something. It felt like, this is the best way I could put it, it felt like they needed the DQ stipulation to make the match seem more interesting than what it was. Because if you take away the chairs, if you take away the Druids, if you take away the stipulation, I think a lot of people would have felt that this match was not all that great. So my favorite match of the night, you know, after thinking about it once again, the Creed brothers winning the tag titles over Pretty Deadly. Definitely my favorite match of the night. My least favorite match of the night, boy, I tell you, Bron Breakker and Joe Gacy, the match went exactly how I expected it. So it was not bad, but it was very predictable. The women's tag titles was a little bit of a hot mess, to be honest with you. Boy, this is kind of a tough one. You know, I'll tell you the truth. Because of the pressure and, you know, holding that NXT championship, and yes, it's developmental, I'm going to go with Gacy versus Breakker because they faced before, and there was a lot of storyline behind this. Remember the kidnapping of Rick Steiner, the Hall of Fame ring, the torment, this. I'm going to go with Bron versus Gacy. I didn't think that match was needed. I really don't think so. And this will segue to a couple of Super Chat questions, and then I'll answer a couple of quick questions in the chat, NXT questions, you know, because this is an in-your-house recap, so let's focus on in-your-house. We have plenty of time later or tomorrow to answer questions about everything else, but let me just take this off. Okay. Ron, who feuds with Bron Breakker next? To me, it's got to be Grayson Waller. And I think Grayson Waller might be one of the odds-on favorites to become your next NXT heavyweight champion. I think Grayson Waller, I tell you, I look at Grayson Waller, he looks like Vanilla Ice from 1990. And I was not a Vanilla Ice fan. I mean, I kind of dug when he was selling real estate for a little bit. I still didn't like his attitude. Like, he's one of those that you wish would have appeared on wrestling just to get chair bashed. Like, if you would have said to me that Kevin Owens, instead of Machine Gun Kelly, Kevin Owens could have powerbombed Vanilla Ice through some tables or off a building, I'd be like, fine with me. I don't like Vanilla Ice, but I'm starting to dig Grayson Waller. The guy has something. I'm telling you, some of you, it may not have picked up on it yet. The guy has main roster written all over him. Sure, I'm sure some people will call him kind of a John Cena ripoff, similar physique.
not necessarily similar look, but Grayson Waller, I think, is main roster bound. I think Grayson Waller, if you look at top names coming out of NXT, the future, Bron Breakker is obviously number one. I think Grayson Waller might be number two on the men's side. So I think Grayson Waller and Bron Breakker is your summertime feud. So I'm going with Grayson. Yeah, you would never expected me to say I could not stand this guy. I could not stand him. And I don't even like the stuff he's doing with Tiffany Stratton. But there's something about him that is clicking with me. And I'm telling you, Grayson, Carmelo Hayes, obviously, is main roster star superstar written all over him as well. But I think right now, I think Breakker and Waller are the 1-2 to become the next big stars coming out of NXT. So shout out again to Nir Rofe. Happy Shavuot. Hopefully I said it right again. So much love to you, my friend. Much love. Chris Cutterer. Great NXT show at 2 hours and 15 minutes. Got in, got out, never overstayed its welcome. Joe Gacy, very impressive. And he thinks his look and attire hurts him from being taken seriously. No, I tell you, I appreciate that you were very impressed with his work yesterday. I'm impressed with him overall. I love the character. I mean, you know, the name obviously is controversial because of John Wayne Gacy. But, you know, listen, I think people have figured it out. When you think of Gunther, remember it was Gunther Stark? You think of some other names. And we all think, oh, WWE did not do their due diligence to see about the history of some of these names. I don't think, in hindsight, that they're that naive of it. A $1 billion company will check every little detail. For the most part, Joe Gacy, I mean, sure, you know, I feel bad for everyone that lives on this earth with the last name Gacy, but you look at his character, maniacal manipulator, you look at his physique, you don't think that they deliberately chose the word Gacy? So if they did that for Joe Gacy, why would we think that they didn't do that for Gunther Stark? Look at Gunther's character. I'm not saying he's a Nazi. But I think WWE deliberately does this, and they want to see how far it goes. Because it's just a character. It's not a real person doing this. And I think when you get to the Nazi area, that's where it's totally off limits. Totally off limits. But we'll never know the truth. We'll never know the truth. But I kind of like his outfit. I don't want to see him in tights. I don't want to see him with a singlet. I think this kind of like helps him with his look. I mean, the shoes look great. They are boots, but they look like regular dress shoes. And the pants, you know, are, you know, not just regular pants. Believe me, you would have saw a moon over Broadway by now if those were regular pants. But I think Joe Gacy, he has his repertoire set. Based on his character, I think he really needs to start seasoning it and start really tightening things up. He's getting much more comfortable with the promos. He's laughing a lot more now than he did before. You know, I still don't understand looking back on it. When they cut that promo from the top of the bar lounge, the rooftop lounge, I'm like, I still don't get that. I mean, it was probably the cheap way to do it. They were probably hanging out in the rooftop lounge. Hey, let's go get one of those flying things, you know, the drones. Let's get a drone, and we'll just film them on the rooftop lounge and just laugh. Awful. Awful. All right. And again, shout out to Dream 101. So where are we at right now with time? We are 1 hour and 4 minutes. Let's spend 10 minutes. Some quick NXT questions. We'll finish at 75 minutes, which is very manageable. Remember, this is just a 2-hour and 15-minute event, so we really don't want to, you know, be longer than the event. And then tonight we got Hell in a Cell. So if you have any questions related to NXT, post it. Otherwise, we're going to get out of here a few minutes earlier, and then I'll see you all again later tonight. This is just regular Bones Coffee. It's just the brand is called Bones Coffee.
Nier is asking if I think Waller will win the title soon. I don't know if he'll win it on the first time around, but Grayson Waller will be NXT heavyweight champion. Absolutely. Grayson Waller, you know, there's a reason why they had him go at it a little bit with AJ Styles. I mean, AJ Styles came out on top, which should have happened. But you could see WWE is very, very high on Grayson Waller. His outfit, you know, if you look at his shorts, it reminds me of John Cena. I mean, you know, yes, he had the jeans ultimately, but I don't know. There's just something about him that I see, like, you could sense when WWE is really, really behind someone. A lot of you could see it with Theory. I think he is heavyweight champion. I think it happens before the end of the year. Maybe not right away. Shout out to Chaos. Shout out to Austin Nance, our awesome moderators and friends. They're not just moderators. I appreciate everything they do. I appreciate those who have helped in the past, you know, as well. Rams fan, does Braun defend the title at the Great American Bash, which happens to be July 5th, on Tuesday, 8 p.m.? Do I think he defends it at the Great American Bash? And you received the Braun photo. Very, very cool. Very cool. That's an awesome looking photo. You know, not, I'm not saying that you and KD didn't deserve it, but it's a shame that more people didn't come to the watch party that night, because that photo, seriously, you could throw it on eBay and get a $1, $1.50 for it. Easy. No one else has them. You will not find them anywhere else. But that's why someone asked me the other day and said, DT, you know, very heavy with the contest on NXT. Yeah, because WWE sent me a stack of photos like this, autographed, like this. AEW, I got 5 Sting photos, which I am very appreciative of. I'm not saying not, but WWE sent me probably about, no joke, $2,000 worth of photos. So we spread out, you know, with the contest. So, yeah, I kind of feel like I got to give back, but that doesn't mean I won't criticize the product. I just gave a lot of criticism on stuff. So, will never sway me as far as who won the contest on Monday. I think it was, what was Monday? The ratings contest? I got to go back and watch it. We're going to announce it tomorrow. If I run, just so you know, if I run a contest on a Monday, I reveal the winner on Monday. If we do a contest on a Tuesday, we reveal the winner on a Tuesday. I mean, I may reveal it on an extra night also, but Monday we'll reveal it. Do I think Wagner might be the next NXT champ? Yo, Von Wagner versus Braun. You know what? Okay. I could see Von Wagner versus Braun Breaker. Von versus Braun. I could see Von versus Braun before I see Braun versus Waller. The big question is, what time of the year is more important for NXT? We may see Waller versus Breaker. I don't want to say WrestleMania weekend of next year. That's an awful long time, ways away. But I could see Von Wagner versus Braun Breaker at the Great American Bash. I could see that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think Wagner will become champ. I think Wagner might be on the fast track to the main roster. His size is so attractive by WWE. I mean, he's got to build the personality department. You know, they put him with Robert Stone and a hot blonde. It's not enough. I look on a lot of, like, message boards, chat rooms, social media. Von Wagner seems to be the brunt of a lot of jokes out there. But I could see it. But I think if we don't get Braun versus Waller right away, we'll probably get Braun versus Wagner. I do not think Solo Sikoa will join the bloodline by the end of the year. We touched on this last week. If Solo Sikoa is on the fast track to the main roster, I think he gets put on Raw, especially if the Usos are not going to be on both brands by that time, or we do see Solo Sikoa cross paths with the Usos, and they kind of like treat him like family, and I think Solo Sikoa says, you know, I'm on my own. You know, I do my own thing. I do not see Solo Sikoa being part of the bloodline. You know, I see people
saying Naomi, Tamina, The Rock. I mean, I get it. They're blood related, they're bloodline, so they should be in the bloodline. Nah, Usos, Roman Reigns. This is based on lineage, history, Hall of Fame caliber, titles, not blood. Yes, the term bloodline is bloodline, family, but this is about success. And unfortunately, Naomi, Tamina, yes, The Rock, but The Rock is not a full-time, even part-time wrestler anymore. I don't think Solo Sikoa would be part of that. James will talk about AEW on Wednesday. Actually, you know what? We'll talk about it tomorrow because I am going to rip the crap out of this world title interim eliminator series bullshit. You got to read my tweet. You know, you ever deal with someone who's stoned and they're just laying there and they'll take like the smallest little thing and they'll turn it into a 2-hour conversation? Like you're hanging out. Your friend is stoned. You're eating pizza. You're not stoned. You're just hanging out. You're eating pizza. Dude, did you ever notice the little specks on the pizza? Do you know the history of oregano? You know oregano? And it just goes on for 2 hours. That's what that press release was. That's what it felt like. Somebody stoned that just couldn't make something simple. You know, let's just have a whole bunch of our top contenders fight for the title. And half the people contending are New Japan guys. Tell me why a New Japan pro wrestler, with all due respect, should be fighting for the interim championship. Why? Because it gives Tony that awesome feeling. And don't give me, well, CM Punk requested it. We'll talk about that tomorrow. This is NXT. We keep it at NXT. I really like Solo Sikoa. Out of everybody coming up, you know, we showed it on Thursday what the roster looked like last year in NXT for In Your House and the year before. And 80%, 85% of everybody that was on those cards are gone. It's crazy how many are gone. But you look at the roster now, you could pull out 10 names that a year from now could be doing really good things on the main roster. There are quite a few. And this is exactly what WWE wanted to do. You know, they talked about it. It got delayed because of COVID. It got delayed because of them losing focus and feuding with AEW on Wednesday nights. And then they finally, like, enough is enough, and they made the change. So, you know, we are getting in front of our... See, too bad NXT, when it first came around, after Florida Championship Wrestling, too bad how it's presented now was not how it was presented back then. Because we would have been experiencing the Wyatt family being developed. We would have experienced Roman. I mean, we did watch some NXT, but it was not presented to mainstream wrestling audience the way it is now. It would have been a lot more fun to see all that develop in real time. And it would have been interesting to see how some people online would have treated them, because some of these wrestlers were kind of crabby early on. You would have seen a lot of criticism towards Bray Wyatt. Oh my God. When he was doing the fire, they would have said it was a Forrest Gump ripoff. Shrimp boat. So would have been fun. All right. Chaos. In my opinion, can I compare NXT 2.0 to developmental feeders in the past as OVW? Absolutely. Florida Championship Wrestling, Ohio Valley Wrestling, Heartland Wrestling Association. Definitely compare it that way. It's a little different now because this is part of the WWE banner. So even though WWE was part of those developmental territories, it always felt separate. This is an extension of WWE. Look, you go on WWF.com 20 some odd years ago, you didn't see OVW plastered on the screen. You didn't see HWA plastered on the screen. You didn't see a link. It was always separate. Now you go on WWE.com, you got NXT plastered everywhere. So that is the main difference. But yeah, it's developmental, and I love it. And I'm very, very proud that for 2.5 years, we were pushing it, and everybody else said that WWE was killing Triple H's legacy, erasing his history, crumbling everything that he built. And then when Triple H said to everyone, no, you know, I'm part of WWE. We all wanted to do this. And people accused him of being a liar. That's when you know you're at the lowest as far as credibility, where you can't just say, hey, man, got it wrong. You're acute. Remember AJ Styles? Anybody remember that website when AJ Styles did not sign the renewal contract with WWE yet? This was like 5 years ago. And they reported exclusive news. AJ Styles signed an extension with WWE. AJ Styles contacted them directly and said, listen, guys, here, if you want a scoop, ask me directly. I did not sign the extension yet. Instead of reporting, hey, we got exclusively from AJ Styles, he did not sign the extension. You know what they said to AJ Styles? We trust our sources. We don't believe you. Anybody remember that website? I mean, this is when you know you're at the low of the low. When people accuse the source of lying. Unbelievable, man. No one seems to remember. Probably that website is very happy that we forget, although I think someone will probably pull it out of the bag any second. So, all right, we're going to start bringing this home. So, again, post your comments. What was your favorite match, least favorite match of NXT in your house? On a scale of 1 to 10, based on developmental, I give it a 7. I think 7. I don't want to go 6, 6.5. That sounds, you know, like awfully, awfully average. Let's be honest. There was no shitty match of the night. You got to keep developmental, you know, keep that thought. But 7, I think, is reasonable. You know, it's not one of the better, you know, NXT events since they've gone 2.0. I think it was a little bit above average because, you know, some of the outcomes. But I'll give it a 7 out of 10. But, all right, I am out of here. I hope you enjoyed this recap. And if you enjoyed it, hit that like button on the way out. And if you are getting this in real time before Hell in a Cell, join me live tonight, right after Hell in a Cell. Yes, one of the matches, the Judgment Day versus Finn Balor, AJ Styles. Maybe we'll see this retirement match in 25 years. He'll see this retirement match. All right, everyone. Go have a nice afternoon. Be well. And I will see you all again soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.